Welcome back to the Spodcasters. A lot of stuff going on in the fieldhouse last night. Apparently there was a game, Romery. Did you see that?
Colorado did not apparently know that there was a game last night.
Steven Vincent knew it, though,
Steven
didn't he?
Vincent
How
knew
about
it,
Steven Vincent
and
last
he guarded
night?
The best player on the other team and shut him down. And Steven was so ready for last night's game. It was great to see him get the start and then look good while he was out there.
He looked real good. Three assists, great defense. I don't know how that second three-point attempt stayed out. Unbelievable.
It was RN, too.
While the seniors in the game, the Buffs shot 7%.
They were 1 for 23. When I was looking down at the scoreboard deal that we get there on the computer screen,
right.
It took me a minute because you don't ever see it where it says 0.058 or whatever the number is. It was 5% for the longest time.
Unreal.
Ridiculous.
Yeah,
unreal.
But then they put in their walk-on, and that guy went on a roll.
Back-to-back
baskets. For
Sanger?
What's his name? Yeah, Scott Sanger.
Was that guy Scott Sanger? That guy came in and hit back-to-back buckets. They only had one basket.
Maybe
for like
he should have been playing against Vincent. That would have been
his
matchup.
Senior day on the road.
A team that starts three guys who came here as walk-ons is tied for first place in the Big 12.
Yeah, how about that last night?
Last night they started him anyway.
With a tremendous win over Texas. Gets them in the tournament, I would think. That's probably...
Would that be the fourth team?
Number four.
Well, I knew you guys were going to go there.
Of course
what
we were.
What did I say? How did I say?
You said three teams from the Big 12
unless,
would get into the tournament.
Unless we said four.
No.
What did I say? Three teams unless Colorado beats KU or A&M beats Texas. Short of that, there will be three teams. If either of those happens, there will be four teams. Or if both happen, perhaps five. Roll
this
it back.
Can backpedal
and you'll find
the
it. That's
guy
not
does.
A backpedal. That is not in the slightest.
Retreat. I see the white
a backpedal.
Flag.
Not
we're
a backpedal.
We're going to have our
it is exactly,
podcaster fact
check. How many
outs
do you get here?
It shows you how thorough I look at these things that I said if either of these things happened then. But failing that, there would not have been. And do you guys honestly believe that if A&M had lost to Texas, they're tourney bound?
There
would you honestly
been,
to believe now
four
that
teams
Colorado
from the Big 12
bound?
Would have got in either way? And
do
it
you
happened.
Think Colorado's
That's what we said.
Tourney bound now?
Let me use your logic, Keegan, to say one thing. The Kansas Jayhawks will win the national championship unless they lose sometime during the NCAA 64 tournament. That's
well,
your logic.
No, that is not my logic.
That was your logic. Unless.
Unless I spelled out exactly what it was.
You got to pick
did
a
I
number.
Not, did
there's,
I not?
There's
no you
ifs.
Don't pick out a number. You pick out a number as of now, and then you say what will happen to change that number. I said if either of those happen.
Get
now
A&M
Keegan. Beats Texas. That's if, not the
if,
fence.
If. How
That's
many will
not
make
the
it?
Fence.
Well,
now four
five
will make it.
Make it in.
Now
if.
Four will make
no,
it.
No, now four will make what it. Absolutely.
Say?
Just
five.
Like I said last week, I said if either of these teams makes it, that's the only way that you could get more than three. Now that happened.
My stomach
and
hurts.
The possibility of that happening was realistic enough that I threw that out there as the explanation.
No,
so thereby stealing your guys' rebuttals,
oh,
just killing
I'm Tom
them.
Keegan. Five
Roll
teams will make it in if Baylor wins the Big 12 tournament.
True.
That's true.
Stop. How
that
many
is
outs?
Absolutely true.
So,
or
many,
if Colorado or Nebraska wins the Big 12 tournament. You're absolutely
teams,
right.
How many teams, according to you, will get into the tournament?
No. And what did I say? What was my
answer?
No.
That, and I don't
was
know.
My answer?
It should have been a one-word answer. Because the question was, how many teams will make it into the tournament? And it was three is what I remember.
You,
that was the
it
question.
It started because you laughed at me because I said four. That's how it started.
Right. I said, I did laugh at you. I said, unless Colorado – Luke beats KU or A&M beats Texas.
Oh.
And if you're new to Spodcasters, that's Tom Keegan lying to my left, TJ Wetter in front of me, and Kevin Romery to my right.
Ridiculous.
Okay, who is going to win the Colonial Athletic Association tournament now? Who's going to get in? You got to say now. No. That's the same thing. You're saying you, a week ago
here.
You want
He's
me to tell
out.
You.
He's Bowie trying to
State.
Confuse us
Bowie
so that we don't really know what we're talking about.
I told you. I laid it out perfectly for
go
you.
To the last show and listen. Tom Keegan said three teams from the Big 12 would get in.
Unless.
Now, 48 hours later.
After Texas A&M beats Texas the way I said.
So, theoretically, had Colorado won last night then, you would say five Big 12 teams would be in.
Yeah, that would
oh my
very
God.
Much wow. be
Could we cover every situation so that you'd be right?
Yes, you got
it. Okay, let's go with KU loses the rest of its games and doesn't get in.
That wouldn't happen.
Colorado
They're in.
Loses
They're in.
The rest of its game. A&M loses the rest, and only two teams make it in.
KU's in.
Oh, my God.
They could lose to K-State and lose in the first
Covering
round of Big
every
12.
Scenario, so you're right, it's not Spodcasting.
No, it's called Insight in Depth. Go back to the last and we'll see.
I wish we had the technology to replay.
The only way they get four is if one of those two teams gets in.
The Marquette inning's coming out right now.
Tough loss for the Warriors last night. Well, overtime.
Oh, boy.
Perhaps at the end of that, I mean, probably the coolest thing about the Texas A&M game was when they stormed the court. I mean, that was a knuckleball to win it. Ugly shot, but, you know.
Wasn't ugly if you were wearing all that white out.
How about that? Did you see the end of it when they all rushed? It was probably one of the coolest things I've ever seen. All white. Yeah, it was just awesome.
I think it was an awesome atmosphere down there when they were all wearing white for the KU game. And the Texas atmosphere was good.
It's like the KU-Mizzou game. You know, I mean, that's the big rivalry game. It's Texas and A&M, and certainly the football rivalry is much more heated. But, I mean, that's the game, and for an up and coming A&M team with a coach now that believes his team can get into the tournament, and this is obviously it's rubbed off on these players and they believe it now, and you know they didn't a couple years ago.
And he recruited more than players, he recruited his student body, and it's really a cool story how things have turned around.
And kudos to the Aggies fans for waiting until there were double zeros on the clock, not that they had a choice because AC Law shot in with,
Florida State reference
with no
coming.
Time, but that would be a Florida State reference, the kids with 1.7, they can't wait. They're too excited, they're on the court.
That's football school too, they're confused.
Yes.
They run out there
exactly
too early.
Right.
A pretty cool atmosphere last night in the fieldhouse. A lot going on. Obviously, it was Max's last night. He got a pretty good send-off. He's never seen what was it, 23 years in a row he hasn't seen a senior night loss. I don't know if he has ever. I mean, you see every game in the fieldhouse, but what did you think about, you know, he gets his banner unraveled there at halftime?
That was cool.
Yeah. That was really cool.
The whole night couldn't have gone much better. Really couldn't have, other than Vincent saying if I'd have made 4 out of 4 3-point attempts instead of 1 out of 4. But, yeah, there's number 60 for 60 years in. The three seniors all played well. Hawkins only played 13 minutes, hit 2 of 4 3-pointers. Moody did a bunch of little things, and it's not just saying that because he was in his final game at the fieldhouse. He played a real good game.
Now, what would Gary Bedore have to do to get his number retired up there? I mean, obviously, he's got a 20-plus year streak going, and I would think that, you know, he's also a great ambassador to the university, even if it's not official. They might have to make a clause great, for him, the Bedore clause.
He's a great ambassador for the journal world.
I think Roy would vote against his induction.
I'm telling you. I think Roy would give the speech. Roy had a soft spot.
Yeah,
he had a soft spot for Bedore somewhere.
He had no soft spot whatsoever for Gary.
For anybody.
But after the shakeup of last night,
Dean.
Unbelievable.
Dean, yeah.
That, you know, KU Taekwon? Could still perhaps win the Big 12 outright if, you know, Wichita Grage and the OU Sooners can beat Texas. But obviously there's a lot to play for when – you know, this game is going to be an incredible game, both games, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, and Self made an interesting comment last night, I think it was, after the game. That when you're coaching a team, you don't look at it as ranking the teams from 1 through 12. You look at it as who are our toughest matchups. In other words, Texas A&M might be an easier team for them to play than it is for Texas to play. But Texas might have an easier time with K-State than KU does, although Texas almost lost to K-State.
And so he said that Kansas State is a team that
is a very tough matchup. He didn't say why. I imagine because their big men run the floor well and they get back on defense. And they do a great job of screening. Rush is a great on-the-ball defender, but you can still screen him out. And the guy he's likely to be covering would be Cartier Martin, wouldn't it? Or do you think they'll have Russell Robinson on?
Nah, no. Cartier's too tall. I think it's Brandon Rush.
And if Drummond Diarra hits 18-footers like he did last time, KU is in trouble one more time.
But, I mean, you look at the Wildcats' record. What is it?
6-9 in the Big 12.
That easily could be, like he said, 9-6, 10-5. I mean, this is a team that's lost, I don't know, what are they, 1-7, 1-8 in two-point games.
Right, so if they win half of those,
they're
they'd
an
be 9-6.
Yeah.
And Wooldridge would be back.
But now, I mean, they're going to obviously be playing for the
He's
coach.
Going
it's
back
gonna,
to where he came from at the end of this
pain
year.
In the neck.
They've never won in Bramlage. Is this the time against the Jayhawks? Well, maybe. Well, I think they've won a couple games in Bramlage.
Who?
Maybe just never against KU.
No.
Yeah. Never against KU. KU's
but, I mean, is this the year that you know, they have a lot to play for? They could beat KU for the first time there.
Sure they could. They beat them into Allen Fieldhouse, but I don't think they will. I'm picking KU. And my last two picks have been off by 1 point. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
Your pick of three was also off by one, too.
let's go back and listen to what was said there.
All right. We're done.
You
picked
Colorado.
And you guys
you
will
Colorado.
Never know that you would have been wrong.
What'd you pick Colorado by?
I picked KU by 20.
I don't know about this guy.
Go back and listen. I picked him by 20, and Wood picked him by 11. And Romary, as he always does, just echoed my pick.
Nostra Woodus is out.
Cut.
He's gone.
He got cut. Now, I'll say this. The funny thing is, and I said this to Kevin last night, is it could be a tie for the Big 12 title, KU and Texas. And KU would kind of get the title despite losing to Texas by 25. But I think Kevin had a great point in the fact that, you know, that game's played in the Fieldhouse. That might be a 25-point win for the Jayhawks because nobody from the South wins in Allen Fieldhouse, 0-30. So it's just ridiculous
stat.
To think about. Yeah.
You know, you look at that Texas game, and Texas looked like one of the top teams in America. They looked like they had finally got that big win that, you know, they
home
were cruising
court,
to maybe a one seed, and now, like.
Rivalry games at home court, Andy. The funny things happen in those games.
Inconsistent team, Texas. KU's actually more consistent than Texas. Look at Texas, what they've done. They've beaten Villanova, they've beaten Memphis, they slaughtered KU, and they lose at A&M.
Well, that's their first, that's their first single digit loss, right?
Yeah, they got whacked by Tennessee. They got whacked by Duke.
Nova.
They got beat by Oklahoma. They got whacked by Oklahoma State. And then last night, yeah, against A&M.
Three observations on the freshman from last night. I'll throw it out there, see what you guys think. Number one, Brandon Rush is in a bit of a scoring funk. Maybe they've taken away some of his moves.
Just not being aggressive enough, I think. Very obvious last night. I don't remember him making really any moves towards the basket.
Yeah,
I remember maybe one into the lane, and he's starting to get figured out just a little bit.
Right.
It's always he starts on the left wing. He goes with the right hand to try to get into the lane, and the offside defender, the help defender, comes over and strips that ball away from him at about 15 feet. And when that happens, then he gets a little more tentative. He doesn't try to take it into the lane as much. And I haven't seen him take that mid-range kind of floater, that 8 to 10 footer that he gets in there, then just jumps over you and kind of flips it in.
For the reason you said, though, they're taking that away from him.
They're taking it away from him. And that's, you know, and Brandon, you know, and he admitted it a little too, he was still too honest early in the season. I can't go left.
Yeah.
Well, the rest of the conference heard
Brandon.
That soundbite.
Don't tell anyone. Okay. The other thing is, those things get his outside game going.
Yeah, he's a guy that has to go to the rack. He can't just stay outside and tick, tick, boom it all day.
Like the playground or legend that Keegan taught us about last week.
So number two freshman.
Number two, I have not looked this up, but it's easy enough to look up right in this thing that DJ Wetter has there.
Pressure.
Julian Wright's in a bit of a rebounding slump. I don't know why.
He had a good game last night, though, didn't he?
Three rebounds, but he only played 16 minutes last night.
CJ had eight. That's who I was thinking.
CJ had a good game last night.
Had a great game, quietly.
But doesn't Julian Wright have to be, for self, an absolute joy to coach and also maybe the most frustrating? He comes down, he throws the, you know, behind-the-back passes are not smart passes. But in that situation, great pass. Next time, or a couple trips down.
Better
could
pass.
Could have had an easy dunk, but he cocks it.
Oh, was bad. Got fouled after he cocked it.
And then he missed both free throws.
Yeah, that was bad. 2-for-11 for KU in the first half.
KU really did struggle from the line last night. Comes back, throws down a dunk, but it looked like he's a little off balance. But just like he can make, you know, it's just going to be that thing with him and the freshman where they can look absolutely great.
Right.
And then there's just going to be some really frustration there.
And you know the frustrating thing about that when he cocked it? He was in traffic.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he can pull that off in traffic, but don't even try it in traffic.
How fantastic, though, would that have been?
Oh. He might have broke the
backboard. Would have been a poster. It definitely would have been a poster. Third freshman observation, when things are going rough for KU offensively and they really need a three-pointer, Mario Chalmers.
Moneyball.
He really does have a knack for hitting the big threes. He hit two in a row.
Cut it to 8 or 9, and he hits the second one, and they go on that big 14-2 run to close it.
And Mario's, he's shown much more than just NCAA three-point range. His three-pointers, the reason he's able to get those off so many times and be open, he's standing a good 2, 3, 4 feet behind that, and when he's standing there, he's ready to shoot it when he makes the catch. He's not just standing there trying to get into the offense. He is ready to shoot the ball when he is there. He's not worried about scooting up to the line, just catch it and shoot it.
Yeah, and the bigger the shot is, it seems the better his percentage.
Well, how about last night, though? Obviously, it was the seniors' night, and really, they probably had more of an impact on the game than all of us would have thought going into it. Do you agree
No question, because just look at the score when they finally came out, and it was hot last night. It was like a sauna in there. And when they come out of the game, it's 10-2.
5+ minutes. Yep. This wasn't a 2-minute stint. And just a couple of lucky three-pointers and a turnover and a layup or anything. I mean, this is 5.5 minutes of building that lead and not letting Colorado score at all.
And the shot clock goes off twice.
And it wasn't just the beginning. They came back into the game. I mean, obviously they could have just played at the start, then came out. They contributed it throughout the night.
Yeah, absolutely contributed throughout the night and never looked out of place or anything.
And especially at the end of that, we'll have to talk to that maybe a little bit later. Who had the best speech, Romer? We'll have to throw that out there maybe a little bit later.
You know, I was covering the Colorado side, so I didn't get to listen to the speeches. Yeah. We have them online, though, don't we, Andy?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
I'll have to sit down when I have a few hours, I'll have to sit down and watch that.
As well as Max's special halftime ceremony.
And that was, I think that was pretty cool. And, you know, it was perfect because it had a set amount of time, even though they did cheat it. I think by about 30 seconds, they stopped the clock in the middle sometimes so that they'd have more time to get Max in. But Max said that he admitted that he had considered the fact that they might have a banner for him, so he wasn't completely surprised with that. But I was surprised by it. I hadn't really even thought about it or considered it. And when the lights went off and they put the spotlight up there, I thought, you know, this is going to be pretty cool. And it turned out it was.
And then the great crack later in the game from Bob to Max is, well, you couldn't even play with that number nowadays because you have to be able to count them on one hand.
Yeah, it's got
to
be under six. And he also said his joke was something about the real senior on senior day. Being Max, so... Obviously, he and Bob, good friends.
But back to your who had the best speech, from reading Ryan Wood's story in the Journal World at KUSports.com, I thought the coolest thing from the speeches was that Moody and Vincent, when Self took over, were worried that they were not going to be allowed to continue playing.
I agree. I think that was one of the highlights. We talked last night. I think, actually, the highlight for me last night, and we've been on this guy, Jeff Hawkins. He came out on the floor, and without hesitation, the first thing he said was, he says, I need to start off and apologize to my family, my teammates, and the fans, because I've done a couple things here with my time at Kansas that have not been right, and I made mistakes, and I want to apologize to everybody.
Good job.
I thought that took more guts than anybody out there. And you know, Jeff's always been a likable guy for us in the media. You know, he's a good talker. He's good with a mic
pretty
in his
funny.
Face. He's funny. He's got a smile on his face. Even... after, you know, he's made a couple of these mistakes. But for him to come out and say that to everybody there in front of everybody, I thought took a lot of class from Jeff, and it was very difficult to do, but he did the right thing. And I think he comes out of this thing where you put a smile on your face and think, you know what? Kid's growing up. He grew up a little bit last night.
And in fact,
got a ways to go, but he grew up a little bit.
With that comment right there, I don't even have to wait till the end of the week to give out my life lesson. That was it. You know, sometimes you got to be a man and admit what you did wrong. And Jeff Hawkins.
For all you kids out there.
Yeah, all you young
Jeff Hawkins,
you lifers to be.
To the,
that's the lesson.
To Andy
sometimes you got to.
We still don't know what lifers mean.
I don't know what lifers mean. I thought it was guys who didn't get the death penalty.
Well, that's one definition. But I'm just saying, you know, it was pretty cool to see him do that.
Yeah, and so the highlight, and I know I agree with what you're saying, too, Tom, about those guys. You know, they could have been chopping block material as soon as Self walked on campus, but they stuck it out. But for Jeff Hawkins to stand up in front of everybody, he didn't have to do that. He could have just apologized to Coach and his teammates in the locker room and then apologized to his family later. But to do it on senior night in front of the crowd, on the radio, with the TV cameras rolling, and to do it in front of the fans, who obviously a lot of times, you know, we see these message boards.
And to do it first, too, he could have buried that at the end. We're like, hey, you know, I'm sorry that I've done some stuff. Yeah.
But right from the start, got it out of the way. And I think everybody kind of looked around and said, you know, that's a class act right there that he just did.
Well, the other thing you mentioned is the guys worried about being on the chopping block when Coach Self comes. And obviously from talking to Coach this week, from talking to Jeff about Christian and Steven, that was never going to happen once I think Coach Self realized what these guys really offer. And, Keegan, you talked about Christian doing the little things, and you're not just – it's not just hyperbole. He really does do the little things. And it's so true, though. Those two set the standards, and this team would not be where it is today without either of those two guys, meaning Christian and Steven off the bench specifically, because they taught these young guys, who obviously have
standard,
much more talent than they ever will, to be quite honest, but they taught them what it means to play Kansas basketball. And I think these young guys understand now. They understand the tradition. They understand what it means to play against Missouri, against K-State, and to play NCAA basketball at the caliber that this program usually does.
You know, who can't relate to Moody and Vincent sitting, whether it was a dorm room or an apartment or whatever, just sitting there and just worrying that it's all going to be over.
This thing is
so cool to both of them, that they have always dreamed of playing big-time basketball, and, man, they're like, oh, man, we knew it was too good to be true, possibly. I mean, anything in life, you can totally relate to that, and you can relate to Hawkins because we've all made mistakes in life. And to be able to
for the
go
second
out there and
episode
apologize.
Of Spodcasters, I was just floored that, you know, this thing's still going.
Episode 27, is that what this is now?
Yeah, we've been meaning to talk to you about your role.
Yeah. Speaking of chopping,
at least I'm
block,
always honest.
You got Keegan. A meeting in about half an hour.
Yeah.
Cut.
All right, smiling.
That's why we're laughing.
Not cut. Yeah, keep going. It's keep hosting.
So now, you know, in the past we've discussed, do you want KU to get to the final game, and do you want them to just bow out in the semis of the Big 12 Conference so that they can have more time to practice and get ready for the tournament? At this point, after that loss to Texas, I think you want them to win the Big 12 title.
Well, period. And what if they do? I mean, what if they win – let's just say, best case scenario, they win, Texas loses. They're the out-route champion, even though they got blown out by Texas. They go through the Big 12 and win it all. What are they, a two seed? I mean, a two or three? I mean, it's going to
– I think that affects Texas' seed more than KU's. Yeah. I think Texas falls more than KU rises.
But that still would be impressive, especially if they came back to beat Texas, say, in Dallas or however, you know.
Yeah, well, if KU comes back and would win the tournament and beat Texas in that process, then – then you two mean, is probably a little much.
Maybe you're looking at KU three, Texas four.
Or
I think
five.
Three is the absolute highest. What time is the Big 12 championship game? Is it the late game again this year? It's kind of historically been that
it
late.
It has been. It's kind of been that last one of the last
that's
title
the,
games.
Historically, the selection committee doesn't really pay attention. There's been a few years where the team that won that championship didn't necessarily get a better seed, didn't necessarily move up from where you thought they would be.
I think there's an hour gap there, and you're right that they don't
Big Ten
aren't influenced as much. I thought it was like 3 o'clock Central the time.
That's when that's when it's usually been. And if that's the case, the deal is kind of getting to the championship game. And unless I think you score 5 points in the first half, no one's really watching. They're more worried about where do
Colorado.
I put Bucknell. Yeah, that too.
The leading scoring team in the Big 12 coming into last
80
night.
Points a game almost.
Not anymore.
79.5.
Thanks for showing up.
Unbelievable.
I think they only brought the .5 with them because that's about all they had in the first half.
And I think one of the great quotes from the Colorado people was actually from Freeman, the kid that looked like he got undercut. He might have there, and obviously Ricardo thought so, off the bench, steaming hot. But he had the great quote is, you know, we got to be able to score when we can't just hit jump shots. I mean, that, you know, well, obviously they didn't listen to him, but, you know, I mean, that's what you got to do.
On two of those shot clock violations, the two that you made reference to earlier, Tom, I don't think Colorado got the basketball inside the three-point line. I think they got down there for 30 seconds, goofed around the perimeter, dribble, 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 dinky pass to the other side, dribble, 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 10, 9, 8. Guys, do we want to run a play? Coach, do you have a play for us to run, or you just want us to run around out here and play rec ball? And truth be told, that's Colorado basketball under Ricardo Patton. That's how it's always been.
And that's not good. How much longer does he have there, Colorado?
I don't know. I don't know how he's lasted this
long. But then any coaches in the Big 12 could be gone at the end of the season. This could just be
watershed. I don't think Patton's in trouble.
I don't either, which is amazing because he survives every year. Yeah. I mean, that team is that team has had better players and underachieved, I think, more than any team in the Big 12.
Well, probably besides Missouri, probably.
Yeah, we expect them to underachieve. But Colorado's got some decent players. I mean, they do. They've had some really good players in the past.
I think Copeland's a good player.
Yeah, Copeland's solid. Obviously, Roby is solid. Freeman's
Roby's
not a
better
player
than
at
solid.
All.
I thought Marcus King Stockton had a pretty good first 5 minutes.
What a sweet
three
name.
Three boards.
I like
and then,
that.
That's a pretty cool name.
You just wanted to say the name.
I just wanted
to.
No, I was covering high school basketball for the first half, and I was listening to Bob, and Bob said, Marcus King Stockton with another rebound. He said it like 8 times. I was cracking up. Although he only had 5 boards, so I'm not sure how.
He liked it too, huh?
He did. He was a big fan.
You know what, Romery? I don't know if a lot of people, you know, they might have just saw that Texas score, but we were talking about shot clocks, how amazing it was to watch Tucker, what he did to the Jays, look like he was completely aware. Last night, doesn't even get a shot off on Texas's last possession.
How do you not know what the shot clock is with that little time left in the game? How?
You just don't. Some guys make that mistake. I remember years ago, I'm going to bring a Dallas Mavericks reference out. Against the Lakers, it was in the playoffs.
Roy Tarford.
The Mavs had a chance to win a game at the end, and Derek Harper thought the Mavericks had a one-point lead.
Dribbled out the clock.
He dribbled out the clock, but the Mavs had a chance to knock out the Lakers in game, I think it was game 6. And instead, the Mavs, they go to overtime, and they end up losing, and that was it. I mean, they had a chance to win. And that's an NBA player. I mean, these things, it's weird, but it happens.
A smart NBA player and one of the nicest guys ever playing in the league. Oh,
remember
the look on his face?
Some guys just don't. I mean, he was ready to celebrate, and Rolando Blackman and Mark McGuire just begging for the basketball. Like, what are you doing? But in the same situation with Tucker last night, sometimes – It doesn't matter how good you are. You just, your mind, and you, it's just, it's weird.
Or
it's
as
gone.
Bad as you are. Let's talk Big 12 tournament a couple years ago with Pasco. He catches the ball, Pasco travels, fiasco. And guess who wins? Colorado.
He started to celebrate that miracle. It was a banker's, I recall.
Oh, I love the bank
Pasco. He was celebrating and ran off the floor, and it was traveling. It was still a second and a half left. Yeah, good call.
Speaking of traveling,
came right back. And
how about Bookout's travel last week? That was brutal. Ooh. But you just mentioned the name, Romery, Rolando Blackman. If you're
K-State,
why don't you try to get him to come to the game Saturday and introduce him and get the crowd? I would do that, wouldn't you?
Mitch Richmond. I mean, K-State, you could use anybody.
Both of them.
Over there. You know, anything. Have something. I don't know what they do over there.
Is Wooldridge on the chopping
Eldon
block?
Arter.
We've Wooldridge, talked about this.
He's on the block.
He's gone. Doesn't matter.
Even if they beat
even
KU twice
beat
this
KU.
Year?
Even if they beat KU.
Twice. That would be.
He just got fined again today, didn't he?
Yeah. $5,000
for him. He's gone. Quinn's obviously gone. Who else is gone?
Well, how about this Eddie? Quinn stuff?
Do you hear about Eddie today? More Eddie Sutton news today. DJ, we saw this. Your buddy sent the link to this.
My buddy's in Oklahoma City, and he. This happened weeks ago.
No, 14 months ago.
14 months ago, was it?
That's what it said.
What happened?
Eddie Sutton was carrying a bottle. We're not sure what was in it, and then urinated on a elementary school. True story. And they caught him on tape.
It was like
during Christmas break.
It was a surveillance tape, I think. Yeah, I don't think it was last Christmas holiday. It was one before.
Right,
I think it was from 14 months ago. And, of course, this tape just now surfaces, and he was had a bottle in his hand and was relieving himself on a...
What purpose did it serve...
Releasing the story. I agree.
Bring that out now. I mean, the guy has addressed his problem.
Maybe. Unless there's more. Who knows? Maybe this is just the tip of the iceberg.
What do you mean?
How much of this stuff is hidden? You know, you say, well, why do you have to release that? Well, maybe because over the last year and a half, he's been treated like a king and like this great guy. And if you find out that there's four other instances that he's been out and doing something stupid like this, that maybe he hasn't really deserved all this great treatment and that maybe leniency is not the best way to go through with this at the end. Now, maybe it is. But what I'm saying is, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire.
He bottomed out with that horrible accident.
He did.
He's getting treatment, and for the first time in his life, he's talking about his problem.
I agree that he bottomed out, but you know, the lady that got hit in the other car, maybe she's interested in some of the other things that have been going on.
Hey, I'm just saying, I don't know. If they went back to every video I had of leaving myself on elementary school, I'd be in trouble.
Sometimes you
Speaking
gotta go.
Of why you have to bring certain things up.
Speaking of lifer.
But
who knew all those schools had security cameras? I didn't know
OSU officers got cleared in any wrongdoing from you know, I haven't seen him fall in the parking lot and helping him out.
They got cleared of any wrongdoing?
Yeah.
Well, did they smell alcohol on him?
No,
I think they said the scene was kind of had like a fruity smell, which means he was probably trying to cover it up with gum or candy or something.
And they were really just more worried about like his health, and they said they were more worried about the fall. They didn't even think he might be drinking.
Apparently to them, it looked more like maybe a slip, like maybe tripped on something and fell down rather than him wobbling. Which, I mean, that's
And maybe, I haven't seen this video, maybe it just portrays him the wrong way there too, I don't know.
Maybe he's drinking iced tea.
Maybe he was
pouring iced tea. That's
maybe
what
he was pouring out
said.
Like an old pop or something.
Maybe so. And he was carrying it in his pocket.
How about Sean Sutton when he fell down, though, when Eton made the ridiculous.
He was crazy.
Good Lord.
That was ridiculous.
What a finish in that game.
Yeah,
it was just
a phenomenal finish.
And
Eton hits
a travel on Bookout.
Absolutely a travel on Bookout.
Eton, what are you
Eton
doing?
Eton hits this monster three, and then he has the stupidest play.
Why is he taking a charge on
baseline?
This could
be
on the sideline.
Time out. This is my first time I'll do this. Two life lessons in 1 week.
Whoa. For all the young kids.
The guy shoot the half quarter. What are the percentages? You get out of his way. Don't give him free throws.
Well, it wouldn't have been a half quarter, but.
Yeah, it was like 1 point, second left.
He could have gotten within
20
feet or something.
He could at least,
but still, you don't.
But the running 20-foot leaner is a lot harder than the 15-foot free throws. So.
Unreal.
And how about that team? Will they get their fifth 1-point win in a row?
Who's that?
OU.
It'd be awesome if they did.
What do you mean, will they?
Things around here.
Against Texas?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but if they do.
Unless
here's Tom
no,
Keegan's
I, you know
five situations to make me correct.
No, you know that I clearly stated it. Three unless. Boom. Then it's four.
But we said outright four will get in. We don't care how.
No.
Get in.
We said four will get in. We put no parameters on our four.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm
saying? Right. But I will end up being right because I said four will get in if Texas or KU gets upset here. You guys will never know that you were wrong because my parameter came through. So now you have never have a chance to get wrong. You didn't put yourselves out there.
Eddie admitted his problems. All right? It's time to step to the mic like Jeff Hawkins and Eddie.
It's time for Brandon Rush to find a new move because they've shut down his old move. It's time for Julian Wright to hit those boards hard the way he was hitting them earlier in the year, the way he hits the books, I'm told. Great student, great kid. Julian Wright's got to hit the boards hard again. And Mario Chalmers got to keep doing what he does, which is knocking down those huge threes. And here it is, day after senior night. Who am I talking about again but the freshman?
And it's time for Tom Keegan to take a stand and stick with it for the next show.
Tom, make a prediction for the KU-K-State game. Pick
this is
points
a tough one.
And go with it.
I mean, the last two were so easy. I missed by a point. I apologize for that. This is a tougher one.
This guy.
I'm going to say KU by 14.
Unless?
14?
Unless they lose. Okay. No.
Unless Draven Diarra makes the unguarded
Brandon Rush fouls out.
A lot of people are worried about this game.
Yeah. I'm really not so worried about it, to be honest with you. I mean, this team learned it.
What do you say?
It learned its mistake last time.
You pretty much agree with me on 14?
No, I don't think it'll be that big. I think it'll be a single-digit game. But I think it'll be one of those that KU kind of controls throughout, leads for most of the game.
What do you mean learn from their mistakes last time?
Well, just playing K-State, had that big lead and just let it get away and couldn't score in the final 10 minutes.
But what do they learn from that? To remain aggressive?
Keep scoring?
Yeah, I think they got complacent in that game, you know? And they've obviously learned to attack the zone since then.
Well, I think that's more the issue. I think they got freaked out by the zone.
I think it was just really that game until last night was very similar. They got off to this big lead where – had last night, they'd done what they were supposed to do. They probably would have blown that game away in the first half. Didn't hit free throws, kind of got less aggressive there, didn't finish off great. That's the same thing at K-State. K-State wasn't doing anything that day in the first half. They could have put them away in the first half.
Good point.
They didn't. They came back, just like Colorado, cut it to 8. That game, I forget who misses the 3, but he hits that 3. That's a 5. You know, 5-point game, 2 possessions.
But since then, KU has shown the ability that when things have gotten tighter, like last night, they can turn it back on. Not that they ever shut it down, but they have this ability now, it seems like, to refocus and get things back on track like they weren't doing back when K-State first came
out. Usually starts with the defense, forcing turnovers.
And it starts, if they're running the zone defense, get the ball inside, and KU's gotten a lot better at doing that. But here's the other thing. We've only seen KU have to respond to losing to a team and then getting a chance to avenge that. They did that against Missouri, and they responded in a big way. Now, they go on the road to Manhattan, but I would assume they'll respond the same way.
But this is one of the biggest games in K-State history in my mind. This is their season. I mean, their coaches
are season every year.
Nah, they already beat KU. I don't.
If they wanted to save Woldridge's job, they'd have started playing a long time. But they can't do it now.
This is so they can wear the stupid T-shirts they printed.
Should call it Woldridge Day. So it's last time.
You're not saying K-State can't be the first team to win 4 in a row and get in the Big 12?
KU,
the automatic bid?
KU by 30-plus, by the way, Tom. 30-plus.
30-plus?
Again.
Wow.
Again, yeah.
On the road. Respond.
On the road. They don't care. They
no
don't
way.
Care. Write it down. Write
no
it down. 30-plus.
I think a single-digit KU win.
I'm saying
somewhere between 5 and 10.
I say 5 points. I'm saying 74-69. I think it's going to be a great game, and I think it's going to come down to the wire. Because all of K-State – I mean, K-State is a good team that people aren't giving the credit because their record isn't what it should be.
I would agree with that.
I'll go with 9.
And the way that
hey, Keegan,
down from 30.
I mean, DJ –
9 or 30 plus.
Now, Andy, you got to get technically whiz-bang enough so that we can go back and replay exactly what I said, and it'll make perfect sense.
I could probably get technically whiz-bang enough to make you just change it so you would be right. That's really what you want.
But I don't need that. You guys know that.
Episode
you guys were reeling.
Really,
I just like that we're saying technically whiz-bang 2 or 3 times per episode.
You guys were reeling because you got out into the community and everybody was saying, you morons, don't you know he's right? The only way they're going to get 4 is if Texas or KU gets upset. What were you saying they're going to get 4? Who have they beaten? They need a signature victory. Both these teams need a signature victory.
I've never been called a technical whiz bang in my life anyway. So
4 teams are getting in, though. That's what we. How can we be wrong saying 4?
We said 4.
That's what I said.
Oh.
I said 4 will get in, and people were telling you guys only 3 are going to get in. What are you guys doing saying 4 are getting in? They need a signature victory. Only 3 are getting in, and now we have that signature victory that I predicted. But anyways, you guys know I'm right.
We don't have to have a signature victory to get in.
If you had their resumes, both their teams' resumes.
Those teams, but you know what? Maybe not.
Those teams,
yeah. What? Okay, say Baylor makes a run to the title game of the Big 12, okay?
They don't get in.
And you're one of those middle teams, all right?
They
and then
get in.
You beat Nebraska, Colorado, and then Baylor in the title game. Well, you get in, right? Still don't have any big wins.
Well, that's a conference title.
It is, but well, see,
that's an automatic bid. That's a different
thing.
Though,
you just said they had to have that to get in.
Well, the automatic bid is different from an at-large. We were discussing an at-large. It's a different thing. Of course you get in with an automatic bid.
How many outs do you have here?
That's not an out.
I don't get paid enough to sit here with this guy.
You're comparing apples and oranges.
No,
obviously,
not.
You get in if you get the automatic bid.
How far into this episode are we? What's the time at?
We're about a half hour into it.
Okay, if you're listening out there and you made it a half an hour listening to this logic,
you have a headache right
respond.
Now.
Respond and tell me what your head feels like right now after listening to 30 minutes of this logic to my
that
right.
That thumping noise you hear?
It's Tom Keegan.
It's a head against the wall in this little stupid room.
Tom Keegan is in your head.
You know what I said, and it turned out that way.
Well, we're right. We know what you said.
You said exactly. Three.
We know that you and Eddie.
Three, unless there's a signature victory.
Yeah, I mean.
Whiz bang? Find it.
Whiz bang.
Well, I mean, you're the only one who don't know what you said.
It's right there in the. That's the beauty of Spodcasters. You can go back and listen to previous.
What's our anytime, right, Romer?
Yeah, online anytime. Make it up. Be Tom Keegan. That's
hey, does this
slogan.
Happen every year that the weather's beautiful in the days leading up to KU's baseball opener, and
no.
then it gets cold?
It'll be dog meat.
Only when they play
weeks.
The weather next, right?
I was the PA announcer for the KU baseball team during college, and usually this Western Illinois series, it was about 21 degrees.
Well, it will be tomorrow. It's supposed to get colder.
It's going
to
be in the 50s. Not that cold, but it's going to be in the 50s. They're loving this. Talk to any of those Cali boys that Coach Price somehow got to come here, and they were loving yesterday. Yeah, and they were like, we had no idea. We never visited. Well, you should have.
Bruce Bochy, San Diego Padres manager's son, will be playing at KU next year.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
And good get.
Julian Wright.
Unless.
Didn't take an official visit either. He got here.
Yeah.
Either. So he didn't take. Julian Wright never took a campus visit.
No.
Wow. Well, he did, official. But he committed before he took his official visit.
Had he been to the campus unofficially or not?
I don't think so.
Virtually. On the internet, he had looked at pictures.
Virtual.
And you know, KU sent a liaison his way to tell him about the university.
That would be Bill Self.
No.
Well.
Also another liaison, the hot girl. It's true.
What?
Yeah.
I don't condone any of Wetter's comments as how rumors get started.
That's DJ Wetter.
The comments by DJ Witter do not necessarily reflect upon the Spodcasters.
But they're not necessarily false either.
We're glad that Julian Wright is here. Let's.
Right, yes, we are.
We can all agree on that. He's a good kid, good player, going to get better, going to be here a long while.
And who else? Comments we like? Are your comments out there? So that takes us to the Spod Backer of the Week. And I believe it's.
Do we have t-shirts for him yet, Andy?
We're working on that.
And how do you
efforting? The TV word for that is we're efforting.
Efforting.
I hate that as a verb. Let's remind the Spodbackers how they can indeed email you, Andy Sam.
Well, they can email me all they want, but we also prefer them to just post their comments right under the latest episode of the Spodcasters, and you know, start a little. Let's call it a Spodcasting neighborhood there.
We like to call it an intelligent conversation on Kansas athletics.
Some Spodback.
But no liars. We've already got enough of those. So,
in this room,
We want some. We want people who can remember what
liars? Go back and listen. That's the beauty of Spodcasting.
Oh, it is.
Insane.
Careful what you wish for, Keegan.
Go back and listen.
Just to get it.
It'll be 9 or 30 plus.
9 or 30 plus.
Right.
Okay, I think last time we were talking about senior speeches. Well, this comes from D. Singer. My feeling is he's from Lee Scummett.
Is he related? Is he related
Graves.
To the singer that played last night and scored?
Not a singer, but
until Ryan Wood, you called it Lee Scummett and see what happened.
Yeah.
Ryan Wood's gonna be.
He goes and to disagree completely with the Spodcasters, which we welcome. You know
what?
We can't even agree in this room. So how are our Spodbackers gonna agree with this? Jeff Graves' speech was the best in years. He recognized the fact he had no business speaking in public, and then went on to do one of the most brilliant comedy sketches of all time. His speech included, oh man, I hate big words like this, witticisms. Yeah,
witticisms. Okay.
Like, and Coach Dooley, man, you funny.
That was a classic.
That was classic.
And other gems, like, and Coach Jank, remember that one time? Man, you funny. That's my Jeff Graves. I mean, not the best. What's not to like about that? Every speech should be as compelling. And last night, maybe the most.
That's a great spot back.
That is a great spot back.
Because he was amused by Jeff Graves' speech. So
who couldn't be?
In that way, it was a great speech. Memorable, right? You guys were talking about it. He's spot backing about it.
Everybody has their memorable moments.
And there were a lot of the spot backers this week talked about memorable speeches. Scott Pollard crying. I forgot about that one. Jock Vaughn, he actually thanked the media, I believe.
That's what Doug Tucker of the Associated Press said last
you're
night.
Not gonna, what? You're not going to see that.
The Jock Vaughn thanked the media during his senior speech.
Wow. You know, I got a Jock Vaughn media story. I don't know if we have time for it now, but he'll never be interviewed by me again. I'm sure he's happy about
that. We have time. Go.
Final Four, Gary was there. All of us were there. It was in Atlanta.
Why would Gary not be there if it's a Final Four?
And the Hawks had a game that night. And so we all got credentials and thought it'd be fun before the game just to ask Jock what it was like to have his – you know, his alma mater, playing in his hometown where he's playing now. If he keeps up with Kansas basketball, this and that. We're sitting in the locker room and waiting. Their media relations guy was pretty cool. Said, yeah, he should be here any minute. We're waiting in the locker room. Sharif Abdur-Rahim comes out. He's hanging out. He's like, what are you guys waiting for? Like, I want to talk to Jock. He's like, yeah, he's back there. He'll come out in a minute. Wait. Obviously, word got back to Jock that we were out there. He wouldn't come out. Finally, Sharif gets sick of it. So he's like, I'm going to go get him so you guys can get out of here. Because he was tired of us all hanging out, just standing in the locker room.
Loitering, right.
So he goes back to get Jock. Jock comes out, and before he says anything, he says, I will only answer questions about the Atlanta Hawks. I will not answer any questions about the Kansas Jayhawks.
What?
Jock Vaughn, a guy that has been given so much from the University of Kansas, refused to talk about the Kansas Jayhawks playing in the Final Four, preparing to take on Maryland in the hometown that he's playing basketball in.
Well, was this?
Does
after,
he think he ever would have been an Atlanta Hawk had he not been a Jayhawk?
That was real. You know, I thought that was a pretty good question myself. I'm like, give me a break, Jock. Why are you too good to do this?
But in all fairness, the Hawks were 10-74 at that point in the season and preparing for a big game.
Wasn't
Romer?
That the
Come
game
on.
Where he missed all the shots and the Sports Center season. Had the murder, fireworks on him?
But he came out and said, you know, I don't. And so one of the guys, Jason Lamb, actually worked at 49 in Topeka at the time, and he asked, he's like, well, is the reason that you don't want to talk about Kansas because you don't want to jinx them? And Jock looks at him and goes, you said that, not me.
Throwing him a net, and he didn't take it.
You said that, not me, was his response. I'm like, you know, we tried to ask him like two more questions, and then I finally turned the camera off and said, forget, I can't believe I just spent all this time trying to get, how many people in this town love Jock Vaughn?
Right. He lives here in the offseason.
He does.
He
does. And he's a hermit. He never comes out. I mean, he doesn't take part in anything in the community or anything at all. I mean, he's just totally does not want the limelight or the spotlight. But I think he's really happy cashing the checks that the limelight and the spotlight got him.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah.
And so, man, and you know.
Aren't we
Jock,
all?
He's a great guy, I'm sure. And maybe this was one isolated incident, but
He's a great player, of that you're sure, a great college player.
Yeah, but gosh, for this place and for what the university gave him, the fact that he couldn't just say, all we wanted was, man, you know, it's great to see KU's made it this far. I would have loved to play for him in a Final Four. I've kept up with him all season long, and I wish those guys the best of luck.
Ooh, maybe you just hit on it.
That's it.
That he didn't.
Jealous.
He didn't play.
Maybe
in the Final
not. Maybe then, you know, we've hypothesized that before, but who will ever know? But
they only lost that year by 4 points, two games. That was a good team. Best team ever, in my opinion.
We got a poster of it right here, right down the hall by the coat rack.
Yeah, 34-2. But anyway, so that's my Jock Vaughn shunning the media story. It hacked us all. I mean,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, we all went out of our ways to try to do something nice for a guy that, you know, I mean, give him a little more pub. He'd had a bad year, as DJ had mentioned. Let's be honest, his pro career is. Well, has he had a pro career? I mean, that'd be
you know,
question.
He'll always have a spot in the roster, though, because coaches love him because he brings it in practice. He plays the game the right way. He just can't shoot.
Agreed. Couldn't shoot
That doesn't
here.
Mean you can't talk.
No.
Hey, some people just don't like talking.
And that'd have been fine if he came out and said, hey, guys, I'm just,
sometimes
I don't like to talk. You know, didn't have to
talk
about himself, didn't have to talk about anything other than, you know, I talk to Coach Williams still all the time, and man, I hope he has a great weekend here in Atlanta. That is it. Come on, Jock Vaughn. That is all we needed.
Disappointing.
But you're over.
That's Kevin Romery. I've actually had a couple pleasant experiences with Jock Vaughn, so I would like to.
Have you? Yeah. Share.
Well, we don't have time.
Did he pass
right
you the basketball and you shot and scored?
No, we just had a couple center? Of beverages one night, and it was okay.
Did you guys go on a date? You said it like you're hiding
No,
something.
I just, you know.
Where did you have said beverages?
At a Lawrence establishment.
Was it in the city limits? Really?
508 Club.
Was I was actually Nash with you.
No, he wasn't there that night.
That night.
What are you talking
Which
about?
Which assumes that he hung out with him
Andy
on
Sam
other
and
nights.
Keegan, these guys just get on the show and they start making stuff up.
Andy right, Sam, just because you were in the same bar as a Kansas basketball That's player true. Does but not was, mean you were drinking with the former Jayhawk.
Good point.
Actually, Vaughn, but I was just surprised that he was out in a bar drinking, period.
Why? Like,
because he doesn't
He's
go
a
out
hermit.
A lot.
He does. He does.
Is that like when you're 12 and you're surprised your teacher shops at the grocery store? Is it like that experience? You're surprised to see him out?
When I was 12, I was glad I made it out of fourth grade for the third time.
Think about that math.
You kept getting back in though, didn't you? For a fourth and a fifth.
Snuck my way
How
back
did you
on
get
the,
out and end up back
I
in?
Snuck my way back on the bus. That might be about all we have for this episode.
Are we wrapping this up? Predictions one more time, Keegan. 14?
Keegan said 14
KU,
points.
14.
DJ 30
said somewhere
plus.
Between 9 and 30. What's
no,
your
I
pick?
Said 30 plus or
30
unless
plus.
They win by 9.
And in that case, 7 teams in the Big 12 will get in. Right. If 3 teams from the ACC fall off the map.
No,
if,
it was very clear.
If there's an earthquake
there
in California.
There will be 3 teams unless KU or Texas gets upset.
He's in the show.
In
I
which
wish
case
the microphone
there will
was sharper
be
because I would stab myself in the
He's
head with it.
In the show.
It was clear. It was just two. You guys aren't
my
capable
head.
Of double
my
level
head.
Thoughts. You're it not hurts. Capable of that. You're TV guys.
Double level thoughts.
I got triple layer thoughts.
You don't have the depth to follow that simple.
My thoughts
either
are like
or
a snow cone. It's
you can't triple stamp a double stamp.
Oh, I got a headache.
You can't triple stamp a double stamp.
It's like a brain. Snow cone, my thoughts.
That doesn't surprise me. You got to think for a change.
My brain hurts.
Cut it off.
I'm trying to figure out what you say every show.
Podcasters.
That's
don't miss
Tom
it.
Keegan. You be the judge if he's truthful or not. I like him.
Please post. Somebody please get
DJ Weather in front of me.
But listen to the last one first before you boy. Post.
Kevin Romery to my right. Awesome. We're about to wrap this up, but I'm going to bring in my friend right about now, and he's got a little tangent of Buck O'Neill that we will get to. Well, without further delay, as I promised, a very special, we could call it a special section or a tangent. I mean, obviously there's a lot of baseball fans in the sports department, but I'm joined by Jason Walker, who's the Journal World Sports copy editor, layout man. I guess that'd be the way to describe you, right, Jason?
Behind the scenes, that's right.
And we can both agree that it's just a travesty that a great baseball man like Buck O'Neill did not get in. That's pretty, I think 99% of this audience listening would probably agree with that too. And it's really kind of an outrage, I would guess.
Yeah, it's too bad because not only, you know, are there a lot of people in the Hall of Fame who deserve to be there? But there are probably a lot of people who, you know, deserve to be there for what they did on the field. But, you know, what they've done off the field, I mean, Ty Cobb is the easy example. I mean, he was, you know, in the first Hall of Fame class and was known for being a jerk off the field. And so with a guy like Buck, who's, you know, meant so much to so many people over the years, I mean, he's 94. He's done so much. He's a link from Satchel Paige to, you know, to George Brett and beyond, to the young guys the Royals have now. It's just too bad.
And like you were saying, I mean, isn't it the fact that, you know, is it maybe more distasteful that he's still alive, one of only a couple that were on the ballot that could really, you know, be the representative for this great class that did get, you know, inducted. And really this class would not get inducted without him, but that's probably the most shameful part is he's there in great health, great condition. He's still very functional. I mean, he gets around, he's traveling.
Yeah.
You know, and that's probably the worst part, that he can't experience this joy.
He's one who can enjoy it now as opposed to these people who have been dead for 50 years. Not that they don't belong. I don't know if they do or they don't, frankly. I mean, it's hard to say. But if they elected 17 Negro Leaguers in the special ballot, there were only 18 to begin with. And most of them, there were, let's see, there were a few owners. And, you know, if you're, there's the argument that's been made by one Tom Keegan, as a matter of fact, that Buck O'Neill's stats as a player were not good enough to get him in the Hall, and that's why he shouldn't be there.
And he'd probably be one of the first people to probably tell you that part of it is true.
Yeah.
I mean, he won a couple batting crowns, but nothing. I mean, he, you know, you got to have some pretty significant numbers to get in there.
Yeah, and he was also the first black coach in baseball with the Cubs. I mean, he's the Negro Leagues Museum probably wouldn't exist without him. I know I don't think it's financially on that solid ground still today, even though it's a great place.
So really, I think the only reason, I mean, to me, if you look at Buck O'Neill, you'd have to have three qualifying as a player, which not a bad player, and you know he won two batting titles, but he also left for the service there for what I don't know 4 or 5 years, and he came right back and he won another. Who knows how many he could have won in that span.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Then you got to look at what he did for a coach, and you were right, he's the first black coach, and he recruited, or I mean, he scouted who, Ernie Banks and Lou Brock, right?
Right.
And then this is, I would say even without these first two, his what he has just done for the game, you know, as a contributor to baseball is why he should be in the Hall of Fame, period.
And, you know, it one of the things that people know most about him is from the Ken Burns baseball series. And, you know, it's the fact that he was on that, is that good enough to get him in the Hall of Fame? I mean, you know, it's nice, but he was just on a TV show, basically. He was an analyst, you know. I still think he is someone who generations of people have been helped by Buck O'Neill. They've learned baseball from him, whether it's through Ken Burns or through listening to him speak or reading his book or, you know, anything like that. He just – it's just a shame.
And that's pretty – also the ironic part of the whole thing is that while everyone around him is you know, really upset, angry, you know, crying, whatever, he's just like, well, what was his quote? That's the way the cookie crumbles. And then he was actually excited for the people that he helped get in and said, hey, if they want me to deliver the speech up there, I would gladly do it. And that's who Buck O'Neill is, and that's why he deserves to be in there.
And how great would it be if he did deliver the speech and just, you know, to the people who voted, I mean, even though he's not thinking this, it's just in your face, people, you know. I should have been elected even though he's not thinking that. He doesn't even care. The people around him, like you said, they care more than he does, I think.
U.S. Representative Emanuel Cleaver said that he was going to try to get Buck O'Neill the Congressional Gold Medal, which, and, you know, that's for distinguished services and contributions. You know, it's one of the most prestigious awards you can win. And I think that'd be pretty funny if he did get that. And I think eventually he's going to get in there. There's too much outcry, and hopefully it's not before, you know, hopefully he can still enjoy it. He's still alive.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, Governor Sebelius of Kansas brought it up to reporters. They didn't even ask her. She brought it up and said that she thought it was an outrage.
Well, then even, yeah, Ernie Banks said he'd give up his spot in the Hall of Fame for Buck O'Neill. I mean, everyone who can endorse pretty much has said the same thing. So the fact that we're even talking about it, and who is this committee? I mean, obviously, that's some of the question there, that they had this special committee that wasn't tied to baseball, first time ever, and there's been a lot of, you know, what were their qualifications. And really the only one that it's been, you know, called out quite a bit in the Kansas City area media is that Effa Manley was one of the 17, and she was a co-owner of
with her husband. She owned,
the Newark Eagles or something. And actually, her story is quite unique in its own self. She's a white lady married to a black man, and everything I've read about her, it really seemed like she was living, you know, amongst blacks in that time, which is pretty unprecedented.
J.L. Wilkinson was also elected. He was the white owner of the Kansas City Monarchs, and he was Buck O'Neill's owner at the time.
But the reason these people are getting in are obviously they're not players, so it's what they did after their lifetime. And maybe one of the bad things was her biographer was on this committee, and so obviously you're going to look at that. But obviously Buck wouldn't. He's too big for any of these kind of things. And he, you know, everyone, like I said, people were crying and raising all this hubbub, and he's just like, well, just another day. I know I'm a Hall of Famer in your guys' hearts, and that really, I mean, that's all that matters, I guess. Yeah. But it is kind of sad that you see a great man who means so much in this area and for the game of baseball not get his just reward.
Yeah, I mean, it happened Monday, and I'm still upset about it. I know that going up to it, I was reading the stuff, you know, that was being written, and it was, you know, Buck's issue, and it's just a question of how many will they elect. He's got the votes. The sources said they did the, you know, there were two sources from the Hall of Fame who said that they did the vote especially to get Buck in, basically, you know.
And I've also heard, you know, it looks like he maybe just fell a vote short.
Right.
Which is kind of, I mean.
It's too bad that for a guy who's had to, he's got a great biography called I Was Right on Time. It's his autobiography he wrote with a couple guys. And, I mean, this guy, you know, he's the grandson of slaves. He came up with nothing. His parents worked hard. You know, his dad worked in the celery fields. I learned through this book how celery's grown. I didn't even know. It's in the mud. You have to get down and cut it out of the mud, which doesn't sound like much fun.
And remember that next time you're eating those Buffalo Wild Wings or whatever you're eating, you're dipping your celery sticks. You could have been dipping, you know, it came out of mud, and now you're dipping it in some other sauce.
Yeah, and, you know, and he grew up in the South where he couldn't go to the high school in his town because of segregation, this and that. He's, through it all, he's the nicest, most humble, gracious man, and he belongs. Buck O'Neill, a treasure. Even, let's put it all aside, put the Hall of Fame aside, let's just, you know, enjoy Buck. while he's around.
And I think more probably this through maybe just another incident of why he is who he is, and eventually it's going to all come out, and he's gonna get in eventually. A guy like this who means so much to the game, you know. And it's going to be interesting actually to see what happens in the Hall of Fame in the next couple of years, because now you got all these, like, do these guys going to get to go in for, like, steroids and stuff, and you're going to have all this controversy. But now it's sad that the guy who definitely belongs in there isn't. So I bet if I'm a betting man, which I am, I would bet by it's all said and done, Buck will get – he'll get in there.
I think so, too. I mean, if Barry Bonds is getting into the Hall of Fame, which, based on his numbers, he's a shoo-in. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Comparing the stature of men, of Buck and Barry, is just no comparison.
And that, I think that's going to do it for us. We usually don't like to do a whole lot of these special segments, but when you have a case like this that's so cut and dry, we want to, you know, throw a little bone out to the podcasters about some national issues. So we will see you next time. Oh, well, you know, I wanted to throw out Jaywalk. Thanks a lot for coming on here and dropping this special.
You're welcome. I'll talk about
the case, you know, the case for Buck. That's what we're going to call it.
Read his book, I Was Right on Time by Buck O'Neill. It's a great book. You'll enjoy it.
All right. We'll see you next time.